Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is also referred as the Sunday of the Passion. We focus on our Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem and just also think about Holy Week, the passion that he will undergo this week and the death on Calvary's cross on Good Friday. May God bless our time in his word today. Let us turn to our Lord and confess our sins. God of all patience, this last week of Jesus' life will tell much about your love that you have for us. It'll also tell us a lot about our own sin. We're going to hear how the Jews plot to kill Jesus. The disciples don't understand him. Peter's going to deny him. Those closest to him will sleep through his agony. Judas will betray him. Herod will mock him. And Pilate will just let others have their way with him. His government will torture and crucify him. All of those are part of us, and part of them is still in us, staining us with sin as we continue to fail Jesus. We make confession of our sins, asking that you would forgive us so that one day we will be with you in paradise, we pray. O holy and merciful God, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you. I do not deserve to be called your child. Yet you graciously invite me, and I come to you. And for the sake of my Savior, I plead, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Fear not, for I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. Go, produce fruits in keeping with your repentance. Amen. We collect our thoughts in prayer. We praise you, O God, for the great acts of love by which you redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. As he was acclaimed by those who scattered their garments and branches of palm in his path, so may we always hail him as our King and follow him with perfect confidence, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first lesson comes from Zechariah chapter 9. By inspiration, the prophet says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David." Our confession of faith today will be the epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. The Apostle Paul writes, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." We turn then to our message for today, which is going to come from Luke chapter 19. Dear friends in Christ, Palm Sunday. If I were to ask you to think about some of the highlights that you remember and that you often think of when you hear Palm Sunday, what would come to mind? Perhaps you'd say, as I would, I often think of happiness. Seems like people are just happy, shouting joy, running and dancing, singing. I think of palm branches being waved and thrown in the path, and of course, I think about our Lord Jesus as he rides a donkey into Jerusalem. Those are all memorable things regarding Palm Sunday. But let us not forget a very important point, which often I fail to remember. But it is so good for us to ponder it, not just today, but every day. And what it was a conversation as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He has a conversation with the Pharisees. And that's an important conversation that he had. And that'll be our focus of our message today. It's going to come from Luke chapter 19. I'll begin reading at verse 37. When Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Jesus replied, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." These are the words that we will ponder today. Did you pick up on the comfort that we have here with that conversation that Jesus had with those Pharisees? We're going to talk about that for a moment. But first of all, let's just set the stage. First of all, you probably can recall how Jesus sent a couple of his disciples on ahead to get that donkey that he rides into Jerusalem. A very comforting thought is this. He knows exactly where that donkey is. It's in another city. But exactly as what Jesus tells those two disciples, that is what happens. What comfort to know that Jesus knows everything. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows everything that will take place. He's with you. But now back to our lesson, the conversation that he has with those Pharisees. Our lesson began with these words. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. It's important for us to realize that the popularity of Jesus is on the rise. Just before he rode into Jerusalem on that day, Jesus had healed two blind men in Jericho. Today, doctors can improve eyesight through laser surgery, but modern medicine has yet to give someone their sight back. And if you're not impressed with that healing of that miracle, then be impressed, as the crowds were, with how Jesus had raised his friend Lazarus from the dead. Jesus had done this simply by telling the dead man to come out of the tomb, and he did. It's no wonder that Jesus said to Lazarus's sister, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies." And as our text tells us, the crowd were joyfully praising God. John's gospel tells us that many Jews were now putting their faith in Jesus after they were seeing these miracles taking place. And now it's 1 week before Passover. Many travelers are heading to Jerusalem. It's a festive atmosphere. And as John's gospel reports, this crowd finds out that Jesus is staying at Lazarus's house in Bethany. And so on Saturday, large crowds gathered outside Lazarus's home to see if they could get a peek at Jesus. And now on Sunday, Jesus heads to Jerusalem and a parade occurs. People are gathering in the street, anxiously hoping to see the carpenter who does miracles. They're lifting up their voices. They're singing, "Hosanna! Praise to Jesus! Praise to the King!" And so now, in the midst of this parade, that's when the Pharisees speak to Jesus. They said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." In other words, they're saying, "Quiet the crowd." The Pharisees wanted to completely silence the voices of praise. Why? Well, as I indicated in the Lenten services past Wednesday, their demand was motivated by feelings of pride, envy, and hatred against Jesus. Jesus had exposed their hypocrisy, and he called them whitewashed tombs that look good on the outside, but inside they're like dead man's bones. Wow. And Jesus had also put a damper on their teaching of salvation, which they said they would inherit heaven simply because they were Abraham's descendants. And Jesus had touched their nerves by telling them, "No, you're sinners. You are sinners who are in much of a need of salvation as the prostitutes and the tax collectors." And that's what inspired their attempt to silence the voices of praise. As we think of the Pharisees asking Jesus to rebuke his disciples, we need to be aware of the fact that Satan is still daily attempting to silence the voices of praise for Jesus. The devil uses special interest groups to squelch any public display of faith. The devil uses authors to sow seeds of doubt in our minds from articles that they might write, speeches that they might give. And perhaps most effectively, Satan attempts to silence our voices of praise coming from within us. He causes us to have a lack of concern that we don't even care one way or another if people or we even praise God. It's the devil who stirs up feelings of fear so that we silence our voices to avoid ridicule. And he makes us self-conscious. I don't want to stand out if I say something about my faith. Oh, if only we could be like the little children. The little children who, at the top of their voices, their lungs, they sing, "Jesus loves me. It doesn't matter who's listening or watching." To paraphrase his reply to the Pharisees, Jesus basically says, "Even if you could make these people quiet, somebody else would praise me. If you keep the adults quiet, the preschoolers will praise. If you keep the men quiet, the women will praise. And if all the voices are quiet, the stones will be vocal." His exact words were, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." And it's these words that provide our comfort on this Palm Sunday. Look at what it says. Jesus is assuring us that he will always be praised, which means there will always be people who look to him as their Savior. So many times we feel that the Christian church is dwindling, about to be snuffed out by everything else of the world. But with these words, we hear that's not going to happen. These words assure us that God's word will continue to go out and lead people to sing his praises. How awesome it is to know that people will continue to be won over. But that's not the only comfort these words give. When Jesus says the stones will cry out, we're reminded of his power. Jesus was saying, "I could make these inanimate objects sing a hallelujah chorus for me right now if I wanted to." And what an important point that is to be reminded of as we head into Holy Week. Over the next couple of days, Jesus is not going to look like a powerful God. He doesn't even look like a powerful God today as he's riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Sure, the people are singing, but there's nothing impressive about riding a donkey. And Jesus not only looks weak now, he's going to look weaker as the week goes on. In a few days, we'll walk with him to the cross. We'll see a guy who needs help from another guy just to carry that 40-pound piece of wood on his back. Certainly not the picture of a powerful God. We're going to see a practically naked man nailed to a cross like a criminal. Nothing powerful or comforting in that image. Friends, when we see Jesus appearing to be so weak, remember these words. This is the God-man who could make the stones cry out if he wanted to. Find comfort in that. We always need to have the reminder of that assurance that God is powerful. To know that our God can even have the stones speak sets our hearts at ease. Think of how often we need to apply those words and those thoughts, that power of God, to situation in our lives. We think of the many loved ones who are going through some very serious medical conditions, situations that can make them and us very nervous. But then we hear that we have a God who can make stones sing. That calms the nerves, realizing that God is in charge. What can you say to comfort those who lives get turned upside down? We could say, you have a God watching over you who can make stones cry out. What can you say to somebody sitting in the hospital who might not live another week? What do you say to that person's family? We could say, we have a God watching over who can make stones cry out. What a powerful God we have. And not only can we find comfort in what we could do with those stones, or what Jesus did with those stones on Palm Sunday, more importantly, we can find comfort in what Jesus would do to that stone that would be rolled in front of his grave a week from now, as Jesus would walk away from that tomb on Easter morning. And because Jesus did that, because our God is so powerful that he could conquer death, our voices are not silent today. Rather, let's join the stones and let's sing Hosanna in the highest, that ancient song we sing. For Christ is our Redeemer, the Lord of heaven, our King. Oh, may we ever praise him with heart and life and voice, and in his royal presence eternally rejoice. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, dear Savior, we're so thankful for the life you have given us. Help us always to appreciate the blessings we have, food on our tables, clothes in our closets, and love from family and friends. Cause us to live our lives to the fullest by dedicating our time on earth to you. Impress upon our hearts the need for having you in our lives. May we long to know you better. Help us to strengthen our personal relationship to you. Send the Holy Spirit into our hearts so that we may grow in knowledge and faith in you as our God and Savior. Give us that inner peace that only you, dear Savior, can give. Always remind us of your death on the cross, for it is there that you gained eternal life for us. Drive all doubt from our hearts and reassure us that you are truthful when you say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And dear Lord, help us to strengthen our personal relationship with our family and friends. We realize that loving friends and relatives are indeed a great blessing from you. That is why we want to love those close to us, just as you loved us. And therefore, we ask you, O Savior, turn our cruel words into kind words. Lead us to support each other rather than tear each other down. Instead of holding a grudge, help us to forgive. Help us to love. And may we accept each other as unique creations of you. We ask this in your name, O Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Crown him Lord of all. God bless you. God bless your week.